This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 20th, 2019. The 18th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, preach the word. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everything in Scripture is imperative. Everything in Scripture is the Word of God. But when Scripture itself starts out by, I charge you in the presence of God, we should take special notice. I charge you in the presence of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, preach the Word. I don't have to listen to this one because I'm not a preacher. AAR, if you are a baptized, confirmed Catholic, you preach the Word by the way you live or ought to live your Catholic life. He charges you before the presence of God and Jesus Christ to do so. Live a life according to what? According to the Word, Scriptures. We need to know the Scriptures as the foundation of our very faith. You can't come around here more than a couple weeks. You don't hear sometime me harp on the necessity, the imperative nature of knowing the Bible, the Scriptures that God has given us. St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in that second reading, the letter to Timothy, says, all Scripture is inspired by God. All of it. Not the parts that make us feel warm and fuzzy. Not the parts that make us hear about how much God loves us. Everything. Those are all true, but we also need to know about Him being righteous and just, expecting things from us, and also consequences that are the result of us not doing what He wants. This is to know His will. All Scripture is inspired by God. The New Testament is not more important than the Old Testament. The red letters in the New Testament are not more important than the black letters in the New Testament. Every word from cover to cover is the Word of God. It is all infallible. It is all inerrant. It does not fall. It does not, is not mistaken. There are a lot of things in it that we don't get. That's our problem, not its problem. It is nothing less than the revealed will of God to us. And everything that we believe is derived from it. We have to appreciate the fact of the importance of Scripture. However, you never want to have an imbalance. Scripture alone. Scripture alone. Nothing else, just Scripture. That sounds really nice, but it's kind of interesting that that flies in the face of Scripture. In this reading, just here, we hear about all the good things that Scripture, all Scripture is for. It is for reproof, rebuke, correction, training up those in righteousness. And then in the same breath, St. Paul, you got to have the Scripture down because if you don't, your doctrine is lacking. What is doctrine? Doctrine are those capital T traditions of the church. They are what we are to learn and that is derived from Scripture. Scripture alone is not enough. Scripture alone is not self-authenticating. I point to Scripture and tell you, for instance, I know that God came down and with His own finger gave us 10 commandments. He did it twice, once in Exodus, one in Deuteronomy. I don't read one part that says before His resurrection or His ascension that He called anybody up to a mountain and said, here's the Bible. Who gave us the Bible? The Catholic Church. because there was no other back in those days, contrary to what your friends like to tell you. We believe this because the church tells us. This is how it integrates Scripture and the traditions of the church. But once it is Scripture, once the church says it's the Bible, it stays the Bible. We don't look at it for a couple centuries and say, this means this. Oh, no, it doesn't. It's not how it works. God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. He gives us a very clear message. Like I said, just because we don't get it doesn't mean anything. Or just teach us a lesson that we don't get it. So what do? We appeal to what the Holy Spirit has done through the church for 2,000 years. What the church has always said this means. Because again, God is a God of order. He will never contradict himself, ever. I, through the Holy Spirit, has moved me to do this, that, or the other thing. I was married, but God, the Holy Spirit moved me to divorce that wife because she wasn't pious. Lie. Lie. Because God hates divorce. He never wants it. We do it because we are who we are. He doesn't want it. He would never guide someone to do it. Ever. Never. All Scripture is inspired by God, and this is where we learn things like that. We cannot approach it one-on-one. Your friends are outside the church love to talk about just about us and the Bible. The Holy Spirit, me and the Bible. He'll tell me the truth. Okay, so there's a possibility he could tell you a different truth than everybody else believes. It sounds so ridiculous, but that's the way they approach it. Me and my Bible. Well, guess what? Well, because 2 Timothy 3 says that all Scripture is inspired. What else do the Scriptures say? Let's see. In 2 Corinthians, the same saint, St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, we are not like so many others, peddlers of God's Word, but as many men of sincerity as commissioned by God. We've been commissioned by God. We are bishops. We are priests. You must listen to us. We will teach you about the Word of God because God wants it that way. That's why there were deacons in the early church. The prime reason was we should be spending our time in the Scriptures, learning them and teaching and preaching. We shouldn't be worried about the temporal considerations of the church. Hence, we have deacons. God proves by the Holy Spirit, He even wants in the structure of the church those who will delve into the Scriptures so that the church determines, not we as individuals determine. Well, St. Paul was kind of a hard case on that. How about St. Peter, the first pope? St. Peter, the first pope, talking about St. Paul's writings, said, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do other scriptures. The scriptures tell us that we cannot approach scriptures on our own terms. They don't like those parts. Got to beat those scriptures into my theology. No, you got to beat your theology into scripture. Okay? And I'm not going to sit here and point fingers at people outside the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church is imbalanced on the other side in a lot of places. I have had debates with some brother priests of mine. And we'll be talking about certain things and I'll say, it cannot be because scripture says, and I get the big, well, you can't say, because the church says. I've got more of appreciation of what the church says than you do, obviously, because the church has said that scripture, it's infallible and inerrant, it doesn't change, and you're telling me it does. We have to have a balance between the two. Scripture, the tradition of the church, and magisterial teachings of the church can never contradict one another. That lends itself to confusion and discord, and it sends a lot of souls to hell. Because they do what they want. When we look at Scripture, you can't get this whole chapter and verse thing, dangerous. I can chapter and verse you. I should be able to have 120 wives and concubines because King David did. And King David was a man after God's own heart. That was descriptive of David's life. It was not prescriptive. Lord never says, thou shalt have 120 wives and concubines. Our Lord Jesus Christ is much more explicit. He said, one man and one woman, together until they die. So you always go to Scripture or something that's more clear in what you want to make your point. Not just because you want to make your point, because you can do it. You name me a crime and I can validate it by a chapter and a verse. You got to know the whole thing. If you get too specific, for instance, if you look at this passage, all Scripture is inspired by God. For us, what does all Scripture mean? The whole Bible. When St. Paul wrote this, you know what he meant? The Old Testament. Because when he wrote this, there wasn't a new one. Because the church hasn't said what it was yet. When St. Paul says this, he's talking about strictly the Old Testament. You can read it very legitimately. The Old Testament is inspired by God and profitable for reproof, rebuke, correction, training up in righteousness. That's explicitly what he's talking about because there was no such thing as a New Testament. Well, why do we believe that's the Bible? Because the church gave it to us. That's where you really throw your friends that are outside the Catholic Church. Yeah? Where do we get it? Who said it was the Bible? Individuals. No, there was a council, and it was promulgated, and we got it canonized. We have the canon of Scripture. Okay? You don't want to get... This is what where the problem lies if you get too chapter and versey on Scripture and completely ignore the tradition of the church. Because even your friends that are outside the church, they believe in things like the Trinity, the Incarnation. Those words are not in the Bible anywhere. Anywhere. Where do you get that? You get it from your tradition. That's all there is to it. You just accept that part of the tradition and you don't accept the others. There's a reason to emphasize this necessity of knowing Scripture. And guess where we get it? Not because I say so, because the Scripture said. Our lectionary reading ended in verse 2 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. And verses 3 and 4 tell us why it's so important to know Scripture. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. Kind of interesting. If you know Scripture, you know Jesus was reading it one time in the temple, and he got done reading the prophecy of Isaiah about the coming Messiah, and he folded it up and handed it to the attendant, and he stood back and he said, "This Scripture comes to fulfillment before your very eyes," claiming to be the Messiah. That's why they wanted to stone him after he said that. This prophecy right here that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Look around you. You're living that one. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ should resonate. Today the Scripture has come to fulfillment before your very eyes. Look around us. Look at what is going on in our church. People are not enduring sound teaching. They have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. They have raised up for themselves teachers to their liking, as opposed to teachers who teach what the Scriptures say. We don't like hearing about things like hell and judgment and that our family members or friends might be involved in lifestyles that are heinous and an abomination before God. I don't want to hear that stuff. Tough. That's the word of God. And St. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I charge you in the presence of God, preach the word, not preach parts of it that people like, or don't preach parts of it that they don't like. You just preach it. They have itching ears. That's our nature. Satan knows it. The story of the fall in the Garden of Eden. How does Satan start the whole discourse? What are the first words that he says to Eve? Hath God said that you shouldn't eat of the tree? Why does he ask it? Making her question. You know, and he questions her, and you know how she responds? Yes, he did say that. Yes, he did say. He said, don't even touch it. He said, if we touch it, we'll die. you won't surely die. That's how this all started. All this badness started by Satan questioning what God's word said. We're living the same thing right now. 70% of people in Catholic Church. Hath God really said in John chapter 6 that you must eat my flesh and drink my blood? Hath God really said, well, yeah, he did say that. Nah, it's a metaphor. He's speaking metaphorically. It's not really. So you don't really have to act like God's in any Catholic church. You don't have to really believe that. It's satanic. He's got a small toolbox. This stuff always works. Why? Because it's so hard to understand that. He didn't really mean it. Well, heck, when he said it, a bunch of people left, and the only people that stayed were his apostles, and he looked at them and said, hey, come on back, people, I'm speaking metaphorically. He looked at his apostles like, you're going to leave too? You have the words of eternal life. They don't get it. They don't understand the Eucharist. They don't know how we're going to eat his flesh and drink his blood. They just believe it because Jesus Christ said it. Hath God really said there's only one way to heaven through Jesus Christ? Yeah, he did. In John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Well, we really don't understand what he meant when he said that. He could mean this. He could mean that. No, he meant what he said. Have you really said? Nah, there's different pathways. There's different doorways to heaven. Souls, millions, billions, going to hell because people, God really didn't mean that. He couldn't be that specific. He couldn't be that particular. Yes, he is. And if you just preach his word, as we are charged in his presence, you've got to teach that. And when you don't, you got huge problems. You got eternal problems. Those are big theological things. But I mean, even like the day-to-day, what we would, I guess, consider mundane, although I don't consider that mundane, what? The roles they got in liturgy. How many people? Millions, literally. How many millions of Catholics are showing up in Mass today and they are seeing things that contradict Scripture? Just in Mass. Like women reading. Why don't you have women readers? My response is, because, well, tradition. And that. What is my response? Why do you have Scripture, the Word of God, that in the New Testament, not some patriarchal Old Testament passage, two times in the New Testament, this God of order has said, in worship, I want certain people to do certain things, and you're not going to go beyond the bounds. Oh, that's really degrading to women. It's not degrading to me when the bishop comes here and the tabernacle has to be open because he's the one who's got the fullness of the priesthood and the sacrament that I consecrated gets put in the safe. Okay? My sacrament's as good as his. No, it's not. He's a bishop. It's all Jesus. Okay? But when he comes, there's something special that's going on. And a little subtle things like in the final blessing, when the bishop is here, you ever notice? You know, when he gives the final blessing, it's a completely different blessing than I give. And when he crosses the middle, crosses over here, crosses, that's a bishop thing. All right? If I buy a chalice, I can't even bless the thing. Traditionally. Because it's reserved for a bishop to do that. I can't do it. It's a good thing I can't do it because I'm not a bishop. And it shows the roles. It shows how God structures things. It's a good thing. And it's Scripture. Okay? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is because if you're trying to teach your kids, about the faith, and they say, well, why shouldn't I do this, or why should I do this? Well, because the scriptures say. Well, the scriptures say in two places that women should remain silent in the church, and every time I walk in there, one of them's reading. What do you do with that? Well, that's for that. Where does that end? Where does that end? It doesn't. Well, if that's not true and doesn't apply to me, the other things that I don't want to apply to me are it. That's the danger in this whole thing. Even the subtle little things like that. This is why the Catholic Church has ever emphasized the necessity of study of Scripture. Contrary to what your friends say, the Catholic Church always wanted to keep Scripture out of the common man's grasp. They shunned the regular people reading the Bible. Really? St. Jerome? Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Jesus Christ. That's how important that it is that you read it. The Catechism of the Council of Trent. Well, that was in the worst days of the Catholic Church. They were trying to counter reform and all that other good stuff. You know, the Council of Trent, I'm sure, says that you shouldn't read Scripture. Really? The Word of God is the food of the soul. So it is a strong argument for the hopelessness of salvation when men either seek not the Word of God or, having it, endure it not. Your church teaches it is a necessity for you to be into the Word of God. Reading it, hearing it, not just listening to it, but actually hearing, listening, concentrating when it is expounded in homilies, and hopefully it's being, because we got to watch that even in our day. Came up in the adult forum today. We're talking about Scripture, kind of fleshing this out a little bit. And an example of one of the Scripture passages in the Gospel said, when the Pharisees are criticizing Jesus for healing, out of that, it says, he looked at them in anger. He looked at them in anger because of their being merciless. And I listened to a homily this week where he spent the whole homily time telling us what? That the Scripture says that, but Jesus really doesn't get angry. It's a lie. It's a lie because Scripture tells us he does. He gets righteously indignant at us. We call that anger. It's not sinful. He was sinless. But he does get angry. He did, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still does. We need to know the Word. Because if you don't know the Word, you know what happens? God lets us know this. He lets us know everything in here. He lets us know why things are going on when they're bad, because we don't know Scripture. In Amos chapter 8, he says, there are times coming when I'm going to send a famine on the land. Not a famine of food, but a famine of hearing the Word. When you start not hearing the Word, or when you hear it twisted like what I just described, when you hear that, that is a sign of God's anger against his people for their unfaithfulness. You know what? You don't want to be faithful? I'm going to take away my Word. You're not going to even know what's going to go on. You don't even know what I want. You know, I mentioned before, like the role of women in Mass. I guarantee you, you never hear a woman get up and read the passage that says women should remain silent in church, because that would sound kind of weird, wouldn't it? So what do we do about this? Well, that part won't be in the lectionary. We'll never hear that part. Because if you never hear it, and you're seeing this, well, that must be okay, because this is the church, right? If you know the Word of God, you go, it's not okay. It's not right. There's a famine, and it shows God's displeasure and unfaithfulness. To understand this isn't a theological endeavor. It is to understand how much God loves you. What? How much do we hear about, we can't miss it, how much God loves you. All are welcome, love, 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 mercy, 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 year of mercy, all the, which is all great, and it's all true. But he's also the God of justice and righteousness, okay? We have the year of mercy. Why don't we have the year of justice? They must have forgotten that one, okay? We know God loves us. But if I really pose a question, how do you know God loves you? Give me an objective. I just feel in my heart. That's trash. Show me how God loves you. You know, for us, we go, the Eucharist, the confessional, the priesthood, the church. Absolutely correct. Why do we know about things like that? Scripture. Scripture is proof positive that God loves us. He doesn't want you to have to reinvent the wheel. He doesn't need you to figure things out on your own, you and your Bible. He wants you to know what He wants for you. And it's right here. How many times I hear, I wish I knew what the will of God was. Whoa, look at that. How great He answered your prayer. Go home and read. I'm not into reading the Bible. Yeah, okay. That's your problem. Okay. His will is known. This is proof positive of His love for us. He wants to communicate His truth to us. He wants us to know how much. Why do we know how much He loves us? Because it's in the Scriptures. It is proof positive that He loves us. But it is also your marching orders. As for you, always be steady. What does He mean by that? Be steady. Knowing Scripture. So when people argue against you, you never say, I think, I believe. You say, Scripture says. And the church has always said this about Scripture. Well, the church doesn't say that now. It can't say something different now than it said before. That's confusion. Always be steady. Endure suffering. Because guess what? If you tell people what the Bible really says, the vast majority of the folks that you're talking to, I don't believe that. What is it? My God is a loving God. He wouldn't make a hell. That's an idol you just made up in your own mind because the God of Scripture did. And He sent His Lord Jesus Christ to save you from it. And He's told you everything that you need to do to avoid it. And He's warned you time and time again that it's there. It doesn't matter what color somebody's wearing. Well, there might not even be a hell. Gee whiz, you might want to crack that book open there, Excellency. This is what St. Paul's talking about. We need to be steady and endure sufferings for the sake of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ commands us before the living God that we preach His word, because that's a fulfillment of our ministry. And each and every one of us have one, no matter what your walk in life may be. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.